discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
It's at the center of our most treasured Christmas carols, at the top of our trees, and its light shines through the centuries and captures our imaginations. But was the legendary Star of Bethlehem really a star? And might its meaning to the greatest story ever told be even more integral than we realized? It's a Christmas journey to the true Star of Bethlehem, as we welcome back Dr. Colin R. Nickel, the author of the tremendous work, The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem. And what a treat to welcome you back, Doctor. We could not ask for a better Christmas present, sir.
Ryan, I tell you, it is such a joy to be speaking with you again. I really enjoyed our conversation a couple of years ago, what a highlight it was in my interview season. And I'm just really thrilled that you've asked me onto your show again. And I'm grateful for that, and I look forward to our conversation.
We are thrilled that you said yes. And we should mention, of course, that you join us from the beautiful, beautiful northern region of Northern Ireland there in the British Isles. And so at this moment, are we actually communicating via a cable placed under the Atlantic Ocean, sir?
I believe so. Apparently, it comes pretty close to where I'm at. So I just wish my broadband connection lived up to that, that connection itself. But anyway, we are content with what we have.
Amen. Amen. Well said. And you're a great sport for being here with us today. You bring to this topic a dual passion for studying the Bible and for conducting research. And you actually discovered these twin zeals as just a lad there in Northern Ireland, right, sir?
That's why, you know, as a kid, I maybe didn't think about it as a research. I just loved the Bible. I loved studying the Bible. I loved researching it, you would say. I would read books about it. That's what I did in my spare time. And I would even try to write little books when I was even like just 11, 10, 11, and 12. And so that passion was something that lived with me all my kind of teenage years, and then led me to go to the States for to go to Moody Bible Institute and to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and then ultimately to go to Cambridge. My passion, I kind of discovered really that I loved research when I was at Moody and Trinity. I loved doing big research projects and getting my teeth into subjects. So that really led me to think I really should take that and get do a PhD and kind of hone my research skills. So that led me to ultimately Gordon Cromwell Seminary, and then I left Gordon Cromwell Seminary, and now I do my ministry. It's called Biblical Research Ministry. So you got the Bible and the research there. And the ministry too. So,
It's tremendous and a tremendous journey. And the mystery of the star. Now, this wasn't so much a lifelong passion of yours and a fascination, but you launched this investigation because of borrowing a DVD, right?
That's right. My father-in-law had watched a DVD that he really enjoyed and thought that I would enjoy watching, and thought that it would be conversation-provoking or thought-provoking. So I eventually watched the DVD about the Star of Bethlehem. As you say, it wasn't a topic I was at all interested in, but I haven't watched it, and just being honest, really disagreed strongly with what it was saying. It didn't seem to me to fit with biblical text. It drove me to go back to the text of Matthew and ask the simple question, you know, well, what does Matthew say? You know, not various things you hear about the Star of Bethlehem, various theories, none of them seem to fit or really be anything like really flowing from a natural reading of Matthew. So it made me think, well, wait a minute, why don't we kind of go back and start with Matthew and let kind of Matthew lead the discussion, let him give the facts that we deal with, and let him determine all the parameters of our investigation, and then see where it goes. And it wasn't like a project I took on at that point. That was back in 2009. But I was, in the meantime, working on other projects, which some of which had an astronomical dimension. And so I was increasingly learning about different things. And I was also interested in pursuing a little bit about comets and reading up. And the strange thing was, the more I read about it, the more I became convinced that there's only one astronomical entity that came anything close to doing what the Star of Bethlehem did, and that was a comet. So that was really from that point. Then my wife at one point in a Saturday morning turned to me and said, "Well, what do you think the Star of Bethlehem is?" alluding back to the DVD that we have watched. And it was really at that moment when it was like a eureka moment, when I suddenly put the whole thing together in terms of the biblical text and really what kind of comet it was and what it did. And it was really that launched me on the project. I really went dashing down the stairs and started the investigation using astronomy software and using, obviously, doing my further investigations in Scripture. And that led to the whole project. And within a couple of weeks, I was meeting with some of the top astronomers in the world that, by God's grace, happened to live not far from me. And they are some of the top comet astronomers in the world. So they were happy to dialogue with me, and I had the most amazing, intense conversations with them. I was asking them questions like, well, what does it mean when a comet stands over the horizon? You know, when does that happen? And they were explaining, oh, yeah, these are the circumstances in which that happens. And so we had 7 hours of intense back and forth about the biblical text and about astronomy and putting everything together. And really, when I left there, I was actually physically shaking with the intensity of this incredible experience. And I left there knowing that actually resolving the mystery of the Star of Bethlehem was actually possible, not only saying what it was, but actually saying what it did, and really doing a profile of it, saying a lot about it. So that led me into doing tons of astronomical research, reading tons of books about astronomy, many, many articles, dealing with astronomy software packages, dialoguing with other comet astronomers, doing observing myself. So it was like a whole lifestyle at that point for a number of years as I sought to kind of grapple and master this whole topic.
Man, that is awesome. We wish we could have joined you and just been a fly on the wall observing that eureka moment as you describe it, but the voice of Dr. Colin Nickel right there. He's author of The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem. You know, and you rightly, I think, point out that it makes a lot of sense to begin this voyage by just going back and sketching out exactly what the star does on that first Christmas. Could you just do that for us quickly? Give us a refresher of how the star guided those magi, those wise men, to Jesus.
Well, the Magi themselves arrive in Jerusalem, and they are asking around, you know, where is he who is to be born, the King of the Jews? For we've seen his star at its rising and have come to worship him. So they've seen something, the star do something in connection with its rising. That happens in the eastern sky, eastern morning sky. And then whatever they've seen has been so impacting, so life-transforming, really, that they have left their homeland and traveled over 500 miles in search of the newborn King of the Jews, the Messiah, in Judea. And anyway, when they get to Jerusalem, they meet with King Herod the Great. King Herod the Great is very curious to know, among other things, when the star first appeared. The Magi are able to tell him when it appeared, and it obviously had appeared at least 1 year prior to that moment. And then they go on their way, having been told where Bethlehem is, to the south of Jerusalem, about 5 or 6 miles. They head toward Bethlehem. The star appears in front of them in the southern sky, going ahead of them. And then when they actually get to Bethlehem, they see the star standing over the place where the child was, thrilled at that, realizing that God himself is sovereignly ordaining precisely where the Messiah is. They go in and they find baby Jesus there with Mary. So that, in essence, is what the star does. And that really is remarkably specific information, actually, that enables you to figure out, really, build a profile of the star and then enable us to identify the star with some degree of confidence, actually.
Well, it's fascinating. Your quest, your investigation, as you have already hinted, brings you to the conclusion that only one celestial body could do the things that you describe, and that body is a comet. So why is it so, sir? Why can only a comet do these things?
Well, you know, there have been various suggestions. You know, is it a planet like Jupiter? Is it a coming together of planets? Is it some shooting stars? Is it an ordinary star, a supernova? Others have suggested a comet. The problem with most of the explanations is that they don't fit with what Matthew says. Matthew says a star appeared suddenly and remained visible for a set period of time over a year. Well, that fact alone rules out all of the options except a large comet and a supernova, which is an exploding star. It did something extra special and surprising at its rising in the eastern sky. Well, that eliminates all of the possibilities except the comet, because the ancient astronomers understood and were able to calculate the movements of all of the stars, so they weren't surprised by anything that the stars did, but they were surprised by comets. It was in the south within a couple of months after being in the eastern sky. So it's moved within a couple of months from one part of the sky to another completely different part of the sky. Again, that kind of movement is impossible unless the object is in the solar system moving quite rapidly, which means it has to be and can only be a comet. It goes before them and it stands over the house. That exact language is used of comets by the ancients. So anyway, those are just some of many things which suggest that it can't be any of these many other suggestions out there of different astronomical entities. It really only can be a comet. Now, we can actually go further and say, we look at Balaam and the prophecy of Balaam, where Balaam in Numbers chapter 24, he looks forward and he speaks about the Messiah's coming in terms of a scepter rising and a star. So the scepter star language there, which interestingly the rabbis actually spoke of comets as scepter stars, and it's a quite a normal thing to think a long straight-tailed comet. It can look very much like a scepter. So it's a natural thing to even conclude, just based upon numbers, that the coming of the Messiah was especially associated with a comet. And of course, that text, Numbers 24, was understood by the early Christians and most scholars believe by Matthew himself as prophesying the Star of Bethlehem. So that's, again, a very powerful thing. And one other interesting thing is, you know, the Babylonian astronomers were interested when it came to comets in only five different things that they took special note of what comets were doing. One was the first appearance of the comet, which is interesting because the Magi know when the star first appeared. And secondly, one of the other five is the rising of a comet. And isn't it interesting that the Magi themselves mentioned the rising? So two of the five things that they took note of and they were especially interested in with regard to comets are particularly mentioned in the account of Matthew.
It's just fascinating stuff from Dr. Colin Nicol, who joins us today from the Verdant Ireland, the Northern Ireland realm of the United Kingdom. He's with us today, the author of The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem. And Ryan Thomas joining you today as well. This is such a fascinating discussion. One of the questions that has been raised that, you know, quite a few of us might be familiar with, or maybe we've even thought of the question ourselves. You know, if this was such an incredible phenomenon in the sky, and you describe it as being just like that, why don't we see it documented in other sources besides the biblical story, sir?
You see, that this has actually been the biggest mistake that people have made that have been searching for the Star of Bethlehem. They've assumed that it would be in the surviving astronomical records from the ancient world. But there have now been a number of significant studies looking at the state of the ancient records. And we know that only a very small number of the ancient records have survived. With respect to comets, less than one-third of comets for that period have survived. And half of those are in surviving Chinese records and half are in Greek and Roman writings. So, for example, Josephus mentions a great comet that lasted for a year. in the run-up to the Judean War and the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. We have no other record of that comet. Had it not been for Josephus' interest in that comet because of his view that it was a bad omen for Jerusalem, we would never have found out about that magnificent comet.
Hmm.
Similarly, it's really thanks to the perceived significance of the Star of Bethlehem, the comet, it's a comet at the time of Jesus' birth, for the early Christians. It's because the early Christians, and most notably Matthew and the Church Father Ignatius, perceived the significance that we know about it because they wrote about it. We have no Babylonian records of comets or after 87 BC, although Matthew's indirect evidence, obviously, that astronomers in that part of the world were keeping records of this comet. So, really, the whole issue of records has really, I think, has been one of the reasons why people have missed it. Now, there are a couple of suggestions. People that have proposed the star as a comet have looked at Halley's comet, which appeared in 12 BC, and a Chinese comet in 5 BC. But neither of those comets lasted for a year. The Chinese comet only lasted for 70 days, Halley's comet only for 56, and neither of them, as I recall, appeared in the southern sky, or certainly neither of them rose, and Halley's comet did not appear in the southern sky. So they don't fit the profile of the Star of Bethlehem. But I think the reason why people only suggested Halley's comet for a long time was simply because that's what most biblical scholars knew, the only comet that they knew about. And as for the 5 BC comet, the reason they suggested that was simply because it was the only comet in around that time that they had a record of. But they weren't engaging with the reality that so few of these comets have actually survived in the records.
Wow. Okay, that makes sense. Now, you tackle something even beyond perhaps the nature of the star itself. You actually do some real research into the timelines for this story, and you sketch a date for the birth of Jesus. When do you place Jesus' birth, sir?
Well, the nature of it is, I guess, in order to say the date, really what you're doing at that point is looking at doing the work regarding what the star actually does, what the comet does, and then before we would say that, we'd have to talk a little bit about Revelation chapter 12, because really Revelation 12 is given a very interesting description of the birth of Jesus, but it's doing so in astronomical terms. And, it's talking about sun, the moon, 12 stars, talking about constellations and all of that. And so scholars have never really got to grips with the fact that this extraordinary description of Jesus' birth is in astronomical terms, never asking the question, really, why? And that's a very important question to ask, because the only real plausible answer is that this is telling us the sign, and in fact, he uses that language in Revelation 12, the sign of that attended Jesus' birth. So this is telling us what the Magi saw. And indeed, when we use the data in Revelation 12, because we obviously are able to identify the constellation, the Virgin, and the constellation of the serpent dragon, which is Hydra, and we're able then to see at what time of the year this description could occur, we see that it has to be the actual rising is occurring in September, October. And so what's described in Revelation 12 is really a nativity scene. It's a scene of a pregnancy and a birth. And if we look at the story and the point of the birth, the point of the birth ends up, when we calculate it, to be around October the 20th.
Man, that is absolutely fascinating. It's really inspiring to think of the sky really celebrating the arrival of this King of Kings. And your book does such a great job of painting that picture. It's a beautiful book, but that really was one of the things I took away from reading the book, was the sky was celebrating the birth of this king. Is that a fair way to describe it?
Oh, it's completely awesome. And I'm not a big one for using the word awesome, but this is truly awesome, because this is God in his majesty programming his creation to honor his son in the most magnificent way, and showing a complete mastery over Earth on its orbit, Earth in its rotation, the placement of the moon, the placement of the planets and a comet and all of these things, and the weather, all cooperating in a majestic way to honor his son. And for this spectacle that's described in Revelation 12 to have occurred, it actually requires the Earth on its orbit and the comet on its orbit to be cooperating in its most amazing way, so that even though they're both moving, even in opposite directions to each other, they both appear by the particular way that they're moving to be lined up and in the same place, so that the comet appears to be in the same place in the Virgin. So this is like an amazing phenomenon to occur, that it's actually one of those things, when I say at the end of the book, that the Magi, when they get to Jesus, fall down and worship, partly because the star has revealed the nature of this child to them. And in the book, I seek to help readers understand why the Magi felt this way and how the star did reveal the majesty and greatness of Jesus to them before they got there, and why they fell down before him, and therefore why we, even more than the Magi, because we understand what went into it, what God did awesomely to show the Magi what they needed to know and to lead them on their way and to pinpoint the exact place where the Messiah is. These are amazing things that show the complete control even over the Magi and their movements and their precise location. It's awesome. And the more that you look at it, the more you are in awe at the story. Once you grasp that this shows the mastery of God over the universe and that he has done all of this majestic work in this solar system to honor his son and to mark out his son as the Messiah, it speaks to us powerfully in the 21st century. It speaks to us about God being the God over this universe. Astronomers are discovering so much, so many exciting things, but so little glory goes to God from it. But this is like a thumbprint over the whole of the universe. The Star of Bethlehem story. This is an authentication of Matthew as an accurate historian, because if there was any part of Matthew's gospel that people laughed at, scoffed at, it was the star. And yet, if you look at the book, you'll see that every detail of what Matthew writes can be shown to be in full accord with astronomy, and that he couldn't have made it up. And the very fact that Revelation 12's account and Matthew 2's account are so amazingly perfect together, which is just absolutely mind-bogglingly astonishing. It cannot have been made up. It has to have happened.
Oh, man. Well, the passion that we can hear in your voice comes through in the book. It's an amazing book, The Great Christ Comet, Revealing the True Star of Bethlehem. Dr. Colin Nickel is the author. He's been joining us today on the road. And before... we don't want to go anywhere before you give people some wisdom on where they can go to find the book, Dr. Nickel, whether it's online, whether it's in brick-and-mortar stores. What would you recommend? Where should we begin the search for The Great Christ Comet?
Probably easier to go to Christian book distributors or Amazon or any of the big bookstores, or just go directly to Crossway Books, which published it. Of course, we did a great job. I mean, if you've alluded to it, I mean, we've got some of my wife is an artist, and so we've put some amazing art and with the history of comets and beautiful images of comets. And of course, we've done a beautiful job in presenting the book. It really is a delight, and the pictures really are worth 1,000 words when it comes to astronomy. So it really does make some parts are a little bit complex because you know, you're trying to explain astronomy, but the images really help. So that you can see what the star is doing and why it's being seen to do those things. So it's really, it was a joy to hold the book in hand. You can buy it very cheap on Amazon as an e-book, a Kindle book, but I would recommend you get the hard copy, because the hard copy really, the pictures it's a kind of really majestic looking, and it works really nicely as a hard copy book.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. The pictures are beautiful, and the text is fascinating. The passion just really leaps off the page from Dr. Colin Nickel. And sir, what a treat to have you back again. the conversation was just an absolute delight for us and just such a fascinating topic. So thank you for your time once again, and thanks for the amazing work that you did and put into this book.
No, and may I wish your listeners and you, Ryan, a very happy Christmas, a meaningful Christmas. May it be a season of worship and refreshment in the Lord. Blessings to all of you.
Bless you, sir. Thanks again.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.